Good morning, church. If you will, please turn with me to the New Testament letter of Ephesians. Today we will continue in chapter 2. If you're using a Pew Bible, your page number is page 976, page 976. Last week we looked at verses 4 through 10. We were reminded that we were dead in our sin, but as saints, God changed that, right? But God's goodness, His character, His nature, His mercy, His love has made us alive together with Christ as saints, and this is why we are saved. Salvation is a work of God, not a work of man. God is life, and the man or woman is dead until God draws them to Himself. So because of God's work in His Son and His work in drawing us, we as saints are forever alive. Forever alive. So as saints, He has raised us up. As saints, He has seated us with Him. And as saints, the riches of His grace are immeasurable to us, and Christ is enough. Now, when I say Christ is enough, you can easily hear that and be like, oh, okay, and you can affirm that. But I want you to really rest in that. Christ is enough. This moment, if everything else in your life were to fall to the wayside, you lost your spouse, you lost your children, you lost your home, you lost your clothes, do you really believe in your head, intellectually, and connecting that to your heart that Christ is enough for you? See, as saints, we are to grab onto that and soak in that, that He absolutely is enough. Because everything else that we see with our eyes will one day fade. And in truth, even though we can't see it right now, everything is fading. Christ is enough. We are alive now because of God's kindness in Christ, and we are to live now under His authority. And in living under His authority, according to His revealed will, we go out with His authority and fulfill His perfect commands. Paul said this to the saints in Ephesus at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 from last week. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So saints are God's workmanships. Saints are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are created, fashioned, born again by Him to worship Him, to work for Him. See, there's one classification, saints. That's what we are called to be doing. But many people kind of have in their mind these different levels. There are no levels. If you've been born again, you are a saint. But yes, there are lazy saints. And yes, there are saints who get to work. There are saints who actually look into God's Word each and every day, and they become convicted that there are people around them who are dying and perishing, and the truth that they hold dearly in their hearts is there is a heaven and there is a hell, and we are all headed to one of those two places. And there are saints who work. There are saints who talk about work, but don't work. But saints, they will work. They are God's workmanship. And these good works that we are to be joyfully doing to the glory of God is not God's secondary plan. You do realize that. Like, you understand the cross was not plan B. It's not as if God created everything and then everything was going well in the garden and then all of a sudden God got caught off His guard, like, oh my goodness, sin has come. What do I do now? I guess I need to send my Son. No. That is not what happened. God prepared beforehand that His Son should die on the cross. God prepared beforehand that our lives as saints should be walking in good works. And that's what He's saying in Ephesians. Obeying Him, serving Him, and loving others. Now, I do understand that many pastors get behind the pulpit and they tell you what you should be doing, but they don't tell you how to do it. I've been involved in churches like that. Well, what do you mean by loving others? Did you know the most loving thing that you could do is to point someone to Christ? You understand that, right? It's not just helping them paint their house. It's not just helping them mow their yard. It's not just walking over and greeting them. And yes, you can do all those things, and those things are good to do. As a wise atheist once said, if I believed in heaven and I believed in hell, that would change my entire life. But the truth is, I don't believe in either one of them. Well, shouldn't the church live as if we believe in both? For example, do you get excited when you obey the Lord? You know what my son was excited about yesterday? Legos. I don't get that excited about Legos, to be honest with you. I enjoy building stuff out of Legos, but what my son has done, he's got this huge plastic tub, and it's filled with Legos, and he brings me this little booklet, and he wants me to make this little toy out of the Legos, but all the little toys for that piece are all in this big bucket. They're not in this small little package. So what do? I spend hours with them. Hours. Looking through. Hey, Kobe, can you help me find this? Kobe, can you help me find this piece? Can we put this together? For Kobe, that was important. He really wanted to see this thing built and put together. He wanted to spend time with me doing that. And I feel that so many times in our walk with the Lord, we will get so much enjoyment, so much excitement, but it's not about God. It's about doing this or doing that, going here, watching this, purchasing that. Maybe you serve by going on mission trips. Maybe you serve by evangelizing or writing a letter. But what Paul is talking about here is a walk. Remember, Paul is not in prison writing this letter because he has done one or two good things over his lifespan. Why is he in prison? He is daily walking with the Lord. You don't put people in prison who go on one mission trip. You don't put people in prison who once lived for the Lord 20 years ago. You put people in prison who are every day walking with the Lord. And this is what the Lord has said that He sets His side, His saints for. Our life is to be about working for the Lord and working hard. That's why he gets down in Ephesians 6 and he says, working to do what? To stand firm. To stand firm. Working to abide. Working to love. Our remembrance of working for the Lord should be from yesterday's memories. Yesterday's memories, not years ago. You don't look back and say, oh, I remember the day. No, you should be looking back and say, I remember yesterday. I remember what I did for the Lord yesterday. I remember spending time with Him. I remember getting on my knees and praying. I remember talking to Phil and George. I remember talking to my neighbors. Walk. God prepared beforehand that His saints would walk in good works to the glory of God. Loving your spouse, training your children, discipleship, giving generously, helping the poor, visiting the widow, caring for the orphan, supplying the needs of the local body, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We are to walk in good works. And that brings us to today. We are to remember what the Lord has done. So if you will, please stand and join with me in following along Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. For context, we will begin in verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And by nature, we were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Please be seated. We must remember that at one time you and I were hopeless. In these verses, this is a reference to the Old Testament ritual of circumcision. Circumcision involved cutting the foreskin of the flesh from the male Jew on the seventh day. This was a theological sign of being God's people, of being cut off, of being set apart from the world. And those outside of this realm, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, they were considered the uncircumcised. Paul is calling these saints in Ephesus, these now Gentile believers, to remember who they once were. That these Gentiles were not God's chosen people. One commentator wisely said this would have called to remembrance the fact that these people were in a worse condition at one point. They understood their history. They grasped, do you remember the words of Jesus? Who did He come for first? The Jew. And then the Gentile. He is calling them to not forget that as individuals, they were pagans who helped make up the pagan society that they still live in, just like us. Remember that you were called the uncircumcision. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ. Remember that at one time you were alienated. You were not belonging to God's chosen people, Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise that God made. Remember that you at one time were without hope. You were without God in this world. Do you remember, saints in Ephesus? Do you remember your walk before the words, but God? Do you remember your life before God's grace saved you? How about the saints in this room? Do you remember who you once were? I hope you do. You should see your old self every day because you're surrounded by him. We live in a pagan society. We live in a society that honors and glorifies themselves. We live in a world that says you can believe whatever you want to believe, just don't tread on me. Do you remember who you once were? Without hope. And I hope you grasp that if you have no hope, you have nothing. If you don't have hope and you have everything that this world has to offer, you have nothing. Without hope, there is nothing. Do you remember your life before God's saving grace? And here's our struggle. It's absolutely true that as fallen, depraved creatures, though we have been born again, we still have a flesh, and our flesh and our spirit fight. And it's absolutely true that we forget the work of God's grace in our life and fail to praise Him for what He has done. How do I know this? Because we all did it this week. We all went through circumstances. We all had trials. We all had temptations. And at many points during the week, we failed. And we didn't give thanks to God. And we didn't remember that Christ was enough. We are so wretched that we are guilty of just asking things from God as if having God is not enough. We are so wretched that we become daily discontent with Christ and daily ask Christ for more, dissatisfied until He gives us what we ask for. We are so depraved that we do not live on bread and God's word, but we live on bread and we petition God for more. We are individuals who want more and more and more. It's just sad that we don't want more of God. We are too easily satisfied with what our eyes see, the physical things that have turned into worldly, lustful pursuits. Saints, we do not need more. We have all that we need in Christ. We need to live by the Spirit and rest in the greatest treasure that we have already received as God's saints, Christ Himself. We do not need more. But we need to spend more energy and more time knowing the Lord and working for the Lord. And I hope you grasp how all of these things are connected. There are many individuals who become so consumed with working for the Lord that over a period of time, what they do is they forget to know the Lord. We saw this very clearly when me and Brian went to Indonesia and we started asking a missionary about his walk with God, and the first words out of his mouth were, "I'm different." Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I just kind of talk to God and then God just kind of talks to me, and I don't really care much about theology, and I don't really read my Bible that much. And it took about 12 hours for us to realize that his marriage was falling apart, that his ministry was not focused on pointing people to Jesus, it was focused on educating them in things that were not biblical. See, we must spend our time knowing the Lord and also working for the Lord. Because of what God has done, His great grace, His great love and mercy, which He has bestowed upon His saints, His saints are commanded to remember. We remember what Christ did, yes, and we need to remember who we were when He saved us, when He adopted us, when He called us as saints. Remember, who we once were is foundational for living a righteous, obedient life as a saint. See, the saint who has received grace will model grace with others, including the lost. Now, we don't always do that, do we? If you do, you're a perfect man, as James would said. You're able to bridle your tongue. But too bad you can't do that, because only God can tame the tongue. The saint who remembers that they were an enemy of God will proclaim the good news to God's enemies today. The saint who never forgets the gospel is truly a saint who praises Christ for rescuing him from the pit of hell and transferring him to the kingdom of God. Saint, are you thankful? But here's where it's different. If you are thankful, what's it costing you? See, many will intellectually say with their head up here, "I am thankful," but it never makes it to here. If you're thankful, it'll transfer from your head to your heart, and your heart will bring about application. That's what it's saying. If you're thankful, you'll obey the commands of God. If you're thankful, you'll do what you were created to do, to be a workmanship. Saint, do you remember? Do you remember? The longer the Lord has allowed me to be a saint, and the more and more conversations I've had with individuals, the primary issue whether it's discipleship, whether it's counseling, whatever it is, it always gets back to one thing. And most of the time, I never get past this question with individuals. Tell me about your walk with the Lord. Tell me about it. Most individuals, especially churchgoers, they'll say, you know what? I pray. Awesome. Tell me about your prayer life. Tell me about that. Well, I talk to the Lord and I do this and I do that. And eventually it says, you know, in talking to the Lord, I really feel that I should be doing this. I really feel I have a peace about it. And I said, ma'am, sir, you know I love you, right? Yeah, that's why I'm here. Can I just be honest with you? Yeah, I'm a straight shooter if you don't know me. And I just look at them and say, what you just described is sin. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how much time you spend praying, talking to God. Everything you just said is against the Word of God. It's against it. You haven't told me anything how you've sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to Him today. You haven't told me how you are excited to wake up and to go before the Lord and to get to know Him better. You haven't told me that you've been reading God's Word. In fact, you just told me you haven't been reading God's Word. What that tells me is your primary issue, the problem that you have, is you know things about God and you say you talk to Him, but the problem is you don't want to meet with Him. You don't want to go to Him. You don't want to hear from Him. You just want to tell Him and ask for things that you want in your life. That's not a follower of Jesus. If you are thankful, if you remember, you will run to the Lord and get in His Word. You will abide. You will praise the Lord who has saved you. And that will be your everyday walk. That will be your pattern. This praise, this thankful heart, it is to never stop. Even when you're going through hard and difficult times. And the perfect example is the author of this letter by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul. He is in prison. He is chained. And what is he doing? He's focused on Jesus. He's focused on his mission. He's not whining. He's not complaining. He's not saying, man, I really need you to pray that I'll get over this. No. He's saying, I am going through all this because this is the Lord's will and it's for His glory. See, there might be people in this room this morning who do not grasp the greatness of salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. And as saints, we need to remember the greatness of salvation. Romans 2:25, for circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, he will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code in circumcision but breaks the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. You know, just as Jews once thought, and many still do today, that their bloodline was enough, and that their physical work of circumcision was enough, many today think their works are enough. But these thoughts do not agree with God and what He has already said. That no one in this room and no one on this planet will get to be in a relationship with God and will make it into heaven because they think they have done enough. And here's the truth. No one has done enough. No one on this planet is good. We have all fallen short. Physical works or physical differences are of no ultimate significance in the eyes of God when salvation is concerned. Galatians chapter 6, Verse 13 says this, "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is why individuals are drawn near, because of the work of Christ alone, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation. So it's only the individual who believes in Jesus Christ and trusts in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross that is saved. This person has turned from their sin. This person has repented. This person has put their faith in Christ alone and will continue to do this. They will persevere to the end. This is a person who is saved. And this person walks in the ways of the Lord. This person works for the Lord. This is a saint. See, when someone joins the army, or they join the Air Force, or they join the Navy, the first thing they do is they break down the individual to realize that it's not all about them. A man came into my office this past week when I was over at First Baptist Church Keller, and he said, "My grandson just shipped off into the army. I'm not sure why he picked the army, but he did." And he started saying that his best friend was also there. And he said his best friend, not very wisely, wore a shirt in his induction that said, "I'm in charge." I can pretty much say that that wasn't very wise. See, when you go in, they're confirming in your life that you are not in charge. You're going to do what is necessary at this point. But I find it extremely mournful that saints will say, "You know what? I know what my Lord, I know what my Savior, I know what God's Word says, but who do we think we are? Really? You think you're special? You think you're exempt? Do you understand the gravity of who God is? It's not that God just established a team, or he came together and he put together, hey, we're going to have this side and we're going to fight this side. He's the author, sustainer of everything. Before this world existed, there was God. He has always been. And you're going to look at him and say, I know what the Bible says. I know that what the commands of God are. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But if you continue to say that with your life, the only thing that that means is you don't have a walk that Paul is describing. It says you will walk in good works. Your works don't save you, but because you know who God is, you go to God and you realize, I am here for a specific mission. I am supposed to be on mission for the Lord. I'm supposed to be working for the Lord because I am making things that will last for eternity by God's grace, what he has done in my life. That changes everything. That is a saint. Saints remember the gospel. They remember God's saving grace and the great work that he has accomplished for them and in them. Oh, precious saints, this is our application today. We must remember. We are no longer hopeless. We have hope. God has moved us from nothing to everything. God has adopted his saints. We must live our lives in the pursuit of God and remember. We must not forget when we go to work. We don't forget when we go to home. We must not forget while we are around other people. We must not forget while in the darkness or while going through the storm. We must remain faithful to stay in the Word and being obedient to the Lord. Now is the time more than ever to remember that saints have hope. Saints can look forward to the future. Saints know that their life will get better. but it may not be in this life. In fact, we have the promise that if we live a godly life, you and I will be persecuted. Heaven is approaching soon, and soon we will be with Christ, and that will be better. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we remember that you have been brought near, nothing by what you have done, but by the blood of Christ alone. That as saints, we have hope, that we are not hopeless. What does hope mean? Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. I always got the picture painted before me. It's like it's summertime. You're at the end of the swimming pool and you're asking your two-year-old to jump out into the water. Some of you have had kids where they don't even need you to be in the water. And they're just like, oh, and then they just flop in. And then you have those ones that are real scared. Well, that's my son. Alyssa will just, hey, water. But Colby, I said, hey, just you got to trust me that I'm going to jump. And I think so many Christians think that hope is, I hope this will happen. No. When we're talking about hope in the Lord, hope is if it has already happened. It is sure. It is steadfast. It is complete. It is as if it has already taken place. That is what we hope in. My hope is in the Lord. And one day, I can say that I'm going to be with Christ forever. It's not, I hope I make it in. I hope when I jump that someone will catch me. No. It's that you have complete confidence and assurance. Listen to the words of this pastor, John MacArthur. He says, true hope can be based only on a true promise, on confidence in someone who can perform what he promises. Hope is a profound blessing that gives meaning and security to life. Living without hope of future joy and enrichment reduces man to a piece of meaningless protoplasm, cells. Hope is a consummation of life, the confident assurance that we have a blessed future in the plan of God. See, the words of God the Father and God the Son are true, and all His promises are yes and amen, even if they haven't happened yet. And as saints, we have entered into the Lord's promise, not by our works, but we have entered the promise of God by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has brought His saints near. The blood of Christ is the means. So we remember, because as Paul already told us in Ephesians 2:8, this is not our own doing. It is a gift of God. See, the individuals who think that they have actually earned their salvation, they don't remember because they're basing their remembrance off of them. But if you go to Scripture, it says this is not our own doing, it is a gift of God. You remember the gift because it's your greatest gift you've ever gotten. It's the greatest gift you're ever going to receive. And nothing else compares. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, it says this, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. See, we must pause and we must think, we must remember and daily meditate on the blood of Christ. With the blood of Christ, we have everything, and without it, we are hopeless and dead. Without the blood of Christ, one has nothing. Just as Brian Salzman described 2 weeks ago with great clarity, to not have the blood of Christ is to be a zombie. To be physically alive, walking around, but to also be spiritually dead, hopeless and helpless in need of the good news of Jesus. So we are to also remember our hope as saints, that we have hope. We have been brought near because of the blood of Christ. And I don't have any stats on this. I haven't looked up anything. I don't put much weight in stats or percentages anyways. Do you know the main reason why churchgoers individuals who come to church and worship, they don't care about evangelism and discipleship. They've gotten over the blood of Jesus themselves, or they're not saved. I don't have to write a book on it. That's the reason. The reason people don't talk about Jesus is because they don't go to Jesus themselves. Period. That's what happens. It's not good news to us. We are to remember our hope as saints. See, the Gentiles, they didn't have the problem of not worshiping gods, did they? In fact, in Scripture it says they have all these altars, and they even have one altar that says to an unknown God. They wanted to cover all their bases. The problem was the Gentiles did not worship the one true living God. And then today, in 2017, many have not even heard the name of Jesus. They are unreached. And many today have gathered together in places called churches, and they believe in a false religion, a false God. And the truth is that those pastors and those churches, they are carrying people not to God, away from God. Do you remember the background of Ephesians, of Ephesus? This was a large Roman city. At the time of this letter, it was considered the fourth or fifth largest city in the world. It was a city of multitudes. It contained the temple of Artemis, the home of the goddess Diana, the fertility goddess. It was just a statue that somebody made, and they called it a god. The grandiose theater, a city with over 250,000 souls, and most of them were consumed with pagan mystical worship. See, when you're surrounded with evil, how important is it to remember whose you are? Hopefully many can say amen to that, right? Do you not realize that we're surrounded by evil here today in Euless? The problem is we made peace with it. How important it is to remember that you were what you were before God's grace entered. We live in a pagan city, and by God's grace, He has saved His saints. But do not forget that we are saved only by the blood of Christ. This is central. This is foundational. The cross of Christ is not a minor teaching, but the major foundation of all of our teaching. See, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came and He lived a sinless life, a perfect life. He died on the cross for the sins of God's children, satisfying God's wrath. And on the third day, He was raised to life, proving to be the Son of God. And 40 days later, He is ascended into heaven, where He sits at the right hand of God the Father with all power and all authority right now. And all who repent and all who trust in Christ alone for salvation will be saved. The cross is the major foundation upon which all saints are to stand. In fact, you can even discontinue the word major and just say it's the only foundation. The cross is also the only major truth which all saints are to proclaim to their family and neighbors. Just as God called the gospel to go to the Gentiles, Christ has called the gospel to go to the world. Whoever is behind a pulpit, whoever is teaching in the classrooms here, whoever is active in discipleship, whoever is a member of Foundation Baptist Church or any church, true church for that matter, they must major on the cross. The cross is not a minor teaching, it is the major teaching, the foundation for all that we teach. Saints are to remember that they are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So this morning I want to introduce you to a woman named Frances J. Crosby. Does anybody know who that is? She was born March 24th, 1820. Frances was an American mission worker, poet, lyricist, and composer. She was a member of the Sixth Avenue Bible Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, and she wrote many hymns together with her minister, Robert Lowry. She was one of the most prolific hymnists in history, writing more than 8,000 hymns and gospel songs with more than 100 million copies printed. Despite being blind from shortly after her birth, She is also known for her teaching and her rescue mission work. One of her hymns that I love to sing was published in 1882. It says, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long." I wish I could say that. "I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight." Psalm 1. "Who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the spirits made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be." See, to remember that we as saints have been brought near by the blood of Christ, but remembering is not enough. Proper remembrance of the gospel will result in worship. Proper remembrance of the gospel will result in worship. And I don't mean for an hour on Sunday. Jesus did not die on the cross so we could have 1 hour of religious activity one day a week. Those who truly remember the gospel, they worship the Lord and they strive for it to be a living sacrifice. So what do I mean by remember? I mean the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel will move from your heart, from your mind to your heart. The gospel will drive your life. It'll drive your marriage. It'll drive you being a father or a mother. It will bear fruit. The gospel will become the foundation from which good works come. 1 John 5:11-12, it says, "And this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Where does that life come from? The Son. How do we remain focused on living a life? The Son. Those who have the Son have life. And as Paul already declared in Ephesians 2:10, we will love God by walking in good works, which He prepared beforehand to us to walk in. So saints will remember the gospel, and in remembering, they will respond obediently in worshiping the Lord. They will live a life working for the Lord, joyfully serving Him. Right now, many are walking around without hope. They have nothing. They have nothing to look forward to. Things will not get better for them, and they will only get worse. They sit under God's judgment even now, and unless they repent and believe, they will spend forever in hell under God's wrath. As a saint, we should remember that's what God has done for us. This past week, I was reminded that many individuals do not like to talk about sin. Have you ever thought about that? A wise pastor once said, "And you can be sure that individuals who do not talk about sin do not have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, and judgment." Saints talk about sin, and they talk about grace, and they love to proclaim it. And as saints, what the Lord has given us is what they need. They need the good news of Jesus. So let's meditate on these few questions. Question one, as a saint, are you being obedient to remember the good news of Jesus every day? I'm not just asking if you remember it intellectually. I'm asking if you get into the Word and it moves from your mind to your heart. Remembering the good news, are you saturating your mind with the Word of God? Do you meditate on the greatest words in this world? Here's what's something I think we forget because it's easier to do. How many of y'all watched TV last night at all? Anyone? Anybody watch any movies this past week? Movies. Okay. News. Yeah. We have access to all this stuff, don't we? Facebook. Some of you spend a lot of time on Facebook, I know. I think one of our biggest problems in our culture and in the life of saints in the Western world, we really do not think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing we've ever heard. We really don't. That's the root of it. We don't think it's the greatest news that this world can hear because we don't think about it ourselves. That's what we've missed. The good news of Jesus Christ is not something that we say amen to and then we don't think about it the rest of the day. No, you say amen to it and you meditate on it the rest of your days. You know how I know this? Because all the things that I just listed about TV, news, Facebook, everything, heaven will have none of it. What heaven is about now is what saints' life is to be about now. We're to think about the Lord. Are you saturating your mind with the Word of God? Do you meditate on the Word of God? Are you obeying His words? Are you sharing the good news that adopts sinners, that adopted us? And unbelievers this morning, religious attenders, skeptics, your only hope is Jesus Christ. Place your trust in His work on the cross. Repent of your evil and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Jesus is God. Let us remember the cross. Let us remember His blood. And when we respond with worship, we are to remember and worship. And our life is to be worship, not just 30 minutes on Sunday.